Welcome back to another episode of the Hooligans Pitch. As always, it is me and Chad. This weekend, Sunday night edition.
Sunday night. We're
usually
early.
Yeah, usually on Mondays, but no Monday game. For the first time in a long time, it feels like.
Quite a while, yeah.
So we had some time tonight to get after it, but not a big weekend. So this might be a good, solid pod for the few games that happened. Chad, I think this is a decent weekend for the both of us as far as the table goes.
Yeah.
Back on top. Back once on again. Top. Heyo. Welcome back. But hey, before we get started, we were just talking about this before we went live here. We need to give a shout out to the people who are tuning into this podcast because, yeah, bravo. Kudos to you. Our numbers are up a ton. We can see it. We see people viewing, which is a super crazy thing that we're now acknowledging this on camera. It's so strange to say, but we're going to do it because we do recognize it.
I think it's like, for me, it's like, when we started this, it was never necessarily about growing numbers or gaining listeners necessarily. It was just nice to be able to connect with you and like talk soccer and like we say it all the time, it's like a nice little therapy session for us.
Truly is.
For other people to be joining in on this and coming along is great. I will shout out our Discord. Come join the party over there.
That's right.
We post the memes there. Talk games, talk footy, post pictures of you at games.
Yep.
All the fun stuff. So that's on the website, hooliganspitch.com.
Check us out.
You probably already know it, you know?
All right, Chad. Let's talk some footy now after giving a shout out to the people. We got to pop these beer, though. Don't forget. I always jump ahead of myself too soon, especially on good weekends. The bad weekends, I'm like, open it now. Open it. It's already open. I'm doing a local brew, Snapper by Logboat. Just
interesting.
It's my favorite beer by them. Okay. Just a nice IPA.
Nice, nice. I'm still working my way through the Voodoo Ranger Hard Charge Tea. I've tried all the flavors now. There's four different flavors. I'd say flavor is good on all of them, but I think I'm more of like a seltzer fan rather than a hard tea fan.
Okay.
I like that little bit of like carbonation aspect to it, but.
Okay.
Flavor's great for these, and they're nice and light for summer, so still keep an eye out if you find them. Give them a shot.
I will. They sound good. Voodoo Ranger could do no wrong.
Exactly.
All right. So, Chad, why don't we start Arsenal, since you guys kind of went first. And, you could talk about what you saw on your end, and I'll give you my feedback, because there is some that I'd love to give you. But let's hear it. What do you got for us?
Yeah, Wolves away, I think after the week that Arsenal had leading up to this, Wolves away was maybe a little bit threatening. Though I think Arsenal definitely benefited from Wolves just having like so many injured key players. So that was nice going in, feeling a little bit cautiously confident, I'd say, which I think is just how I'm going to feel like for the remainder of the games, because everything is just must win at this point. So,
yeah.
I think Arsenal came out looking pretty good. I think you could see players were maybe still a little bit tired, but not like they looked against Aston Villa. They looked more up for it. At least especially compared to that second half of the Villa game. But I think everyone seemed to be on the same page for the most part. Kind of working through maybe some tired legs and just kind of getting through the pain and stuff. But pretty good play overall, I'd say. I think just lacking a little bit of sharpness.
Yeah.
It seemed, some of the shots, some of the final balls, even some of the passing was just not quite where we're used to seeing Arsenal have it, but I don't know. There wasn't anything like too standout in the performance as a team for me. It was just like, Raya came up big save. Trossard kind of lucked into that goal, I think, but it ended up being a nice goal. Declan Rice was running around out there, causing havoc, but also like keeping it pretty calm, cool, collected. Yeah, he looked just.
He was the leader of the day.
The end of it, but
yeah, he was definitely the leader of the day. That's 100% accurate. But he looked gassed. He had almost that like at the end, almost like the 100-yard stare of just nothing. He kind of gave that off. He's like, what is he thinking right now? And he was breathing hard. I didn't notice that. He was breathing hard.
Yeah. So I mean, I guess you kind of want to see that, but at the same time, I want to like not necessarily see that at towards the end of the game, because especially right now, the quick turnaround or play again on Tuesday, like, you know, hopefully he's able to get home and get a good rest and massage and, you know, ice bath, whatever the recovery process is for him. But, you know, it's, I think, one of those performances where, yeah, you didn't score or you didn't assist, but like, you were such a key part of the team performance and the win. Even though stats may not fully show it, but without him, I think it would have been a different game for sure. You know, I ended up being pretty chill through the whole thing. Like, I never really felt too stressed. I think that helps with Trossard getting the goal right before half, like, eases some nerves. But I didn't feel like Wolves put up too much of a threat. Like, there's that one big chance that Raya saved, and I think that's probably the only time I was kind of like, oh no, not again.
Yeah.
But Odegaard's really just like his persistence on the ball at the end of the game to stick with it, and then I don't even know how he picks out that angle.
I know, it's just a weird angle.
It's just a you know, try and hit it towards the goal and somehow finds its way between the post and Jose Sa, and great goal to end it on. You know, overall, a chill game. Like, I don't know.
Wow.
Nothing really like stood out to me too much of like that I needed to nitpick or call out so much. Although I will say, I think this could have been a game that you could have rotated more. Like, you got Smith Rowe up on the bench. You got Vieira on the bench. You know, Partey came in late, but, you know, maybe could have came in earlier. Like, I don't know. I guess that's my one nitpick, is Arteta still is just, like, so insistent on, like, this is my starting 11, and I basically only have 11 players. So, like, you guys are just going to be driven into the ground.
It is pretty crazy. You know, we saw Sakho over the week looking pretty gassed. You know, didn't play that well in that game stats-wise. Yeah. And, you know, just from watching him, he was just ineffective in what he was trying to do. And I do think that's partially Arteta's fault and just how much he's, you know, had to use Saka. And that's, I get it. That's part of Arsenal's like game plan. And if Saka's that player, he has to be able to, you know, put up those performances with a lot of minutes under his belt too. So, you know, it's not like an excuse saying, you know, Saka, we need you. It's like, well, you need him to a certain degree. And I do agree with you, though. This is one of those games where I think you could have subbed out Saka and nothing would have really changed. Like, I still think the scoreline would have stayed the same. I don't think the Wolves would have done any more type of, I don't know, defensive schemes to change to make their attack better. I don't think anything would have changed in this game.
Yeah.
So I agree with you there on Arteta. You know, I'm not making a handful of changes, and with those changes just being super late. What stood out to me, though, is that you guys just, it felt very, I was more anxious, I think, than you, because obviously y'all were winning 1-0 at half, but that second half, I was like waiting for you guys to put them away, and it wasn't happening. And I was like, dude, it takes one blunder for your season. I'm sorry, if you would have dropped points in this game, I think that would have been like, that might have been the true dagger. And
I mean, I think that's what I meant when I was saying, like, just some of the sharpness wasn't there. Like, there were multiple chances to put them away. But I think, you know, having watched Arsenal at the beginning of the season struggle to get any sort of goal momentum, I guess, maybe I was a little bit prepped for that, where it's like, okay, well, they're still like playing well, they're still getting in good spots and creating and getting shots off, so that maybe eased my nerves, even though it was, you know, such a thin margin still.
Right. I mean, it's pretty incredible. 2 months ago, both our teams were, I don't want to say they were flying high, because we're pretty much at the exact same point as 2 months ago, but it felt like goals were just coming at any time, and many of them. And now we're like, please score. It's crazy how much it's turned. And, you know, I guess kudos to the opponents they're going against. The last part of the season, they're stepping it up too, because their season is dependent on what the top teams are doing versus the bottom. I think the middle of the table now is kind of decided, even though we're in the middle, we're also going to show you that, like, we do belong in this league. And that happened in a couple games this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think, especially when you're coming up against title challengers, you know, it's probably just that little extra motivation to be like, well, yeah, you know, our position in the table won't be affected too much regardless, but if we can be the team that just, like, upset the title race or whatever, let's be that team. So, I think Arsenal really got lucky that Wolves are just without a lot of key players. I don't know if it would have changed the outcome, but it would have been a much scarier game, I think.
Yeah, it looked pretty casual on both sides. Yeah. And you never know if the Wolves have their true starting 11 out there. Maybe you guys bring it a lot more.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that's true.
Really depends. Yeah,
but I do got some stats for you.
Love it. Hit me with the stats.
Okay, these are all from Opta, so if anything is wrong, you're blaming Opta.
Tweet them.
We'll tweet them. Let them know. So this is Arsenal's first time in league history keeping 6 consecutive away clean sheets.
Wow.
Which is, I guess I was a little surprised by that. Like, I don't know. I feel like at some point along the history of league football, you would have got 6 away clean sheets back to back to back. But
yeah, this year?
Yeah, right? Yeah. And surprisingly, it's only bested by Chelsea in 2008 had 7, and Man United had 7 in 2009. So, I mean, I know away clean sheets are you know, nothing easy, no easy feat, but I felt like one of these teams along the Premier League history would have just, like to not even have a Man City, like, of recent years there is what that was, maybe, I guess, more surprising to me. But, so I thought that was pretty cool. And then that also makes David Raya only the second keeper to keep 6 consecutive clean sheets, just behind Van der Sar from United in the 08-09 season with 7. Okay. So, again, I don't know.
That's Raya?
That's just away.
Oh, just away.
Consecutive away. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, that's cool. I think maybe got lucky with that Villa game being at home, but, you know, we take it as it comes. And, great for Arsenal. I think it's, you know, there's been a lot of negative press and talk about Arsenal after the past week of, like, oh, their season's blown in 3 days. And, you know, it's, maybe not ending as we all dreamed and hoped it might, but I think it's still you know, important to end the season strong and not fully collapse, and then to have, like, moments like this where it pops up of, you know, you're achieving these difficult things and still progressing, still moving in the right direction. So still you know, excited to move forward. Just got to win the games, right? Like, play again on Tuesday. If we win there, we're at 77 points. That's, you know, 4 points ahead of City. Yeah, that's, they got pressure. Games in hand.
That's pressure on City. Yeah, for sure.
Especially if Liverpool does it too. That's 2 teams above you. We're putting the pressure on. They're not getting the easy path here.
No, and you know, it's funny too, because I'm thinking the exact same way. Like, if we say City wins their next game, both of us lose the title by 2 points. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not trying to, like, just give in and be like, yeah, City's going to win, but that's a really good title race to be right under City and keep City this close with 2 teams. That's pretty incredible. And, you know, I saw the question floating around too in the Liverpool subreddit. And this goes the same for Arsenal too. It's like, would you define this season as a success? And I won't speak for you, but for Liverpool, pretty big success in terms of how many new players were rostering, how many second year players who are finally getting back in the team were rostering. You know, our whole midfield is new. The news of Klopp dropping in the middle of the season is like, that's a crazy thing. And we're still,
that could have thrown the whole season on, you know, a whole different course.
Could have went either way. And luckily, you know, it's been looking pretty damn good up until one bad week, which everyone kind of gets one. Ours just happened to be with 7 games left in the season.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say that I'm, you know, I feel the same way about Arsenal. It's, yeah, like winning the league or even FA Cup or, you know, progressing further in the Champions League are all great things, but you know, I've seen this Arsenal team be much, much worse than this. And like, to see it continue to get better year over year, and you know, last season, okay, they got kind of tired around the same point and just like kind of really fell apart. But then for them to get tired here, okay, there's still issues and things that need to be solved. Cool. But like, it's not, as of right now, not like a full collapse, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're still performing good and getting the goals and getting the away clean sheets. So, you know, it's, yeah, I think it, like, sport and being a fan of sport is, you can't like simplify it down to like, oh, you didn't win the trophy, so season was a failure and yada, yada, yada. Like, there's so many little like nuances in there that you probably should look for. But I think at least online, a lot of people want to play the game of like, well, yeah, you blew the league, so like, wrap it up. Just put the kids out there, you know.
Yeah, luckily with, you know, footy, you get qualifications for other tournaments that you don't really see in any other sport. So that, you know, that adds to the positives on a season two, and it feels like we're dropping mad copium right now because of what's to come.
Yeah, but
you know, it's the truth. It really is. You know, Arsenal going back to Champions League for the second, you know, year in a row. Liverpool going back to Champions League after being out of it for a year, with will probably be a very interesting squad going into next year. Who knows what will happen if you know, whatever happens to the roster, I'll be shocked. But we're going to get a new coach regardless, unless Klopp does a 180. So right there, that's a new Champions League era for us. So like, just looking into the future, I think it's very bright for both our teams. And with City, I don't know, I feel like they peaked last year, and like, even though they're winning this year, like, how do they keep going up? Like, what's their next step?
I mean, it sounded like their big squad goal was to do the back-to-back trebles, and then, you know, that fell apart. And which, yeah, they got knocked out of Champions League, and people don't want to give Real Madrid credit for doing that. They want to say they got lucky, like City outplayed them. Maybe, but that's Champions League, right? It's a knockout tournament at this point. Like, that's just how it goes. And I think it's so funny that, like, a lot of the talk on Arsenal and Liverpool was like, oh, like, season's blown. They're, you know, out of Champions League, out of Europa, lost to Palace and Villa. Like, where's the talk about City? Like, ah, their dream of a double treble back-to-back is blown because they're out. Like, it wasn't any of that. It was just Real Madrid got lucky. They didn't deserve to go through. It was like,
Which I don't think that at all. I think Madrid is the better team on paper right now. They have so much momentum going for them. It's a weird media bias.
Yeah,
it's definitely interesting. There's something looming out there with City that I still feel unsure about. Are you good on Arsenal? Got that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Got like that Tuesday said, match.
Nice to get that one and roll into Chelsea now and see how that goes. Let's see what Chelsea shows up.
It's a great statement. You live with them, you really don't know. You're gonna get top. Yeah. You're getting top 10 Chelsea or bottom 10 Chelsea.
Well, we'll see on the day. We'll see how everyone wakes up. And the only one that'll show up will be Cole Palmer for sure. But everyone else, I don't know.
It's a coin flip. All right, Chad, if you don't mind, we're going to get into Liverpool here.
Yeah.
Oh, man, we got the win. Fulham, I think, is a really They're a lot better team than last year, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, when we last played them, they brought us down to the very end. I think this game we were hungrier for a win just because this was like we needed a bounce back so bad. But it felt awkward. This was kind of an awkward win. Scoring three goals, it was just like we're still capable of doing this. And it was like it was almost like we couldn't believe it. Klopp's energy today was kind of weird. He's been sitting now on the bench for like the last two games every now and then. Yeah, that's something that a lot of people are noticing. And usually for the full 90, he's on his feet.
Yeah.
So does he look kind of tired? A little. Is he maybe, I don't want to say embarrassed, but just kind of like worn out just from how this season's been going. And like, he doesn't really believe in this team as much. And so it's kind of rubbing off on the players. I don't know. What I did notice at the end, though, when he gave the fist pumps to the away crowd, he looked hesitant. And I was like, it did. I mean, if you go watch it, it was like, they were like, come on. He's like, oh, okay. Like kind of like, I feel like I don't deserve to give this fist pump to you. That's what it looked like. So I don't know if he's not feeling like he's doing his best.
I mean, maybe not that, like that big picture, but maybe just in this game, you know, he didn't feel like it was the performance that he wanted it to be. And you know, maybe didn't deserve that celebration from him. But I mean, a win's a win, especially to like get back into winning ways and scoring some goals, I think is
right.
You know, a big moment to celebrate. So
you know, it wasn't the cleanest win. I think we can recognize that, but mm-hmm. we found the back of the net three times.
Yeah.
Gravenbach has to be guarded now.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Can't just let him float at the top of the box.
No, like he's going to be respected a little bit more now when he plays. Yeah. Trent back is a miracle. That's big because now it's just psychological. Other teams are going to be preparing for his free kicks. Mm-hmm. And then I did like the move by Klopp today of kind of having the B guys go out there and start the game, especially because we've been seeing those guys kind of rotate in and the star players. There are, you know, our first team coming out. I like this kind of switch. Like, you know, let's take all the energy that we had in Italy last week. Most of you guys who were playing, you know, rest. Be on the bench. Let's get Gakpo in there, who played great today. Easily player of the match. And then just seeing Jota start for the first time in a long time. Gravenbach there. Endo playing the full 90. It's like, okay. And Konate not playing. I think, you know, we talked about this. Like, those guys coming back, I think, threw things off a little bit. It just, it was too fast. And I kind of like this intertwined motion of having the guys who were there originally with a couple of the subs coming in. I think it's a good way to kind of get this back on track within the last five games. Again, it's not like we're out down and out. We were just kind of, we just had a little went a little sideways for a minute, but I'm happy we won. That would have been, if we would have dropped points today, man.
Whew. Yeah. It's, I mean, you're the same spot as Arsenal. Everything is must win at this point. Yeah, you know, I think first half especially looked very much like it could go either way. I think you can maybe thank Polina for coming out mega aggressive today
and making
some crazy late challenges and, you know, setting up what Harvey Elliott took that first free kick, which almost worked. They spotted that no one was laying down.
Right.
So he went for it, and you know, I think he almost got it right, just a little too high. But then, yeah, for Polina to, you know, all right, you tried it on this side. Let me just do the tackle on this side now, and I mean, that's just Trent's bread and butter right there. So
the dude's fantastic on defense. He's very aggressive in most of the right ways, but as soon as he gets that yellow card, it's like he has to shut it all off. 13 yellow cards. EPL season leader. 13's a lot, man. And I'm pretty sure he's played half of those games because he didn't play for a couple because of the suspension. He didn't play in the beginning of the season because of the transfer or the looming transfer. I want to say he's only played in half these games. So
could be. I mean, yeah, he definitely missed
29. He's played 29 games.
Okay. I mean, yeah, that's a good chunk of games to miss out on. And you know, to now, yeah, still have 13 yellows in 29 is quite a hefty number.
But no reds.
Which, I'll give him credit, because, I mean, like you said, he knows, he gets that yellow, he's like, all right, I gotta step back. Like, he's not like a Casemiro or like a, you know, Xhaka when we were trying to make him like some destroyer in the back that just no regard for the yellow for, yeah, for the situation. Yeah. Like,
he's like, I'm gonna kill someone next.
Yep. Yeah. But yeah, I think like you said, you know, good to see the rotation, right? Like, yeah, Salah, you know, big name that we're used to seeing start pretty much every game, but like, he's also getting older. He's also, you know, maybe not been in the best form of lately, and to have the opportunity to just put anyone over there and give him some rest, I think is big. You know, kind of same with Nunez. It's like, dude runs a lot, and you know, I think his form has been fine. He's just, he misses some shots, and I don't know, it might be good to take him out every once in a while and just kind of like reset him.
what I love about Nunez is, of course, he's going to have a plentiful amount of opportunities to score, which I believe he's league leading, but one of the lowest conversion rates. That's okay. I'd rather him be doing those runs over and over and over again and still missing, yeah, because it's just showing opportunity. And previously in the season, he did note that he wasn't starting, and he was so content with that because he's like, I want to make this team win. And I really do believe bringing him in the last 25 sometimes is like chaos for another team, because he is so fast. And I did like today, I mean, he was on the pitch for maybe a minute or two and had a pretty good opportunity that I wish he would have put on frame. I definitely gave him like a, you know, like, dude, just shoot it at the keeper, like just on target, Yeah. And Leno played great today too. You know, I think this game could have been worse than it was. He made some great saves.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But it was just different. It was good to see. It was just a different Liverpool team out there. Man, when Jota's not hurt, it's a blessing. It's so nice to have him. Diaz on the right was fun too. I definitely thought out loud, if we sell this guy, we're crazy. Because it's like, if he can just take it up one more notch, just like if he's an 8 out of 10, if he could get to 9 out of 10, dude, this, he'd be insane. He really would. He's like just missing that extra little sort of finish, or just, it's crazy. He's right there.
He always does like 8 to 9 tenths of like everything that he needs to do, and then just ends up being that like final little piece that doesn't quite connect.
Right. And it can be on all parts of his game, not just shooting. It's because sometimes his dribbling is 10 out of 10, right? And then other times like his passing is like 6 out of 10. It's like, well, if you like can make that a 7 out of 10 here, then it's like, then you're next level. And I do believe he can get there. I really hope we don't sell him to PSG. I know it's a lot of money on the table. This feels different from Coutinho, because I feel like Coutinho, there's a lot of tens out there that you can get, a lot of good passers. But I feel like right now our wingers are pretty scarce.
Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to watch Liverpool in the summer too, because obviously you got a new coach coming in. I think Liverpool will be pretty hesitant to make any big sales before whoever it is comes in and, you know, has some sort of game plan figured out. Because I mean, I think that would just be bad business, right? To like bring in someone new with new ideas, fresh ideas, and be selling potentially key players before he's even there and given a chance to implement anything. So,
dude, it's terrifying. It's really scary. This team could just, I don't know.
I mean,
what if they don't buy in next year? What if like Virgil's like, no, dude, not doing this.
That could happen too. So it's gonna be a weird summer and a weird next season, I think, for Liverpool. But I think there's a lot of good parts to the puzzle are already there. It'll just be if the new guy can get them all working together.
Whoever that is.
Yeah.
Who Who are you?
I just want Liverpool to be like, all right, last game of the season, done, Klopp, bye. Here's the new guy. Like, just go quick.
Yeah, that might already be the case.
Yeah.
We don't know. You know, I didn't really want to talk about coaching just yet because I do want to focus on this season and and what's important. But I think they're doing that on purpose, though, not to make it a huge distraction, right? The distraction of Klopp leaving is big enough. Now you got to know who's replacing him in like a month. Like that's even more pressure. So yeah, that wouldn't shock me. Or if we actually like bow, I don't say we bow out of the competition, but say we lose the next one, right? And it's like City has what, a game in hand at that point. So then they go up, they'd go up 8 points if we lose the next one and win the next two.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think that would seal it, right? I think we'd all understand that it's probably over. Then I could see transition start to happen, but.
Sure, yeah.
Until we're dead, y'all can...
That's it.
Y'all can chill.
Yeah.
Stay over there.
The season's still live, so... Crazy. Go till the end.
It's going to be all sweaty, Chad.
I mean, look, you're still top of the table-ish, behind on goal differential, but, you know.
Isn't that sick, though? It just doesn't even feel like it. Awful.
Is that sick? I don't know.
I don't know. I think it's kind of gross. You're sitting number two right now, top of the league in points. You're still like not feeling good.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it certainly doesn't feel as good as when you were like securely up top, right?
But, well, I always knew, even because it was never, what was our biggest point lead this season? Maybe 3 points.
I think.
Maybe. Yeah. If it was, it felt like we were always a game in hand or something.
Yeah, I think it was three, and then, because Arsenal is still right behind, and then I think, I don't know, there's some draws in there for Liverpool, I think, that let Arsenal back into it, or like, catch up. Something like that. I don't know.
We drew City. And then you guys passed us.
It was probably a few weeks ago, but like, who knows? Yeah, but... I think as long as both Arsenal and Liverpool just keep giving it their all, you know, especially what Liverpool play Tuesday or Wednesday as well.
Everton Wednesday.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, if Arsenal can win against Chelsea, Liverpool can win against Everton. Yeah, City has those games in hand, so like really they're not third, but like that is still pressure for them to perform not only once, but potentially twice. Like,
we get to say, come back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Come get us.
So, yeah. Like I said it earlier with the game, I'm cautiously confident. I think that's just how I'm going forward with this season, with game by game, with where we're at in the table.
Dude, we just need other teams to do something. It's just out of our hands. What are we going to do?
Well, yeah, that's it. Yeah. What are we going to do? You know, we've done all we can do. It's on to the Brightons of the world, and
please, please,
we'll see. Yeah,
please. All right, I got my Liverpool vent out. Good vent. It was a good vent. Yeah. You want to talk VAR really quick?
Yeah, we probably should.
There's a couple floaters out there with the City handball. I might want to talk about that, even though it's cup related.
Well, there was also one in the United game, too.
Right. And it's one of those, you know, there's this picture, there's this picture. It's the same picture, different outcomes. Yeah. I don't know, man. When I watched that Jack Grealish handball, I had, like, flashbacks to what Bournemouth had to go through last week. And Chelsea this time, man, y'all got screwed.
Yeah, you know, Chelsea actually deserved a little bit more here for once, right? I don't know what was seen to make them think that shouldn't be a handball. Like,
all right, Chad, we did this last week. You're VAR. Tell me why that's a PK.
Oh God. I mean, look, for me, it was certainly a handball, right? The wall jumps, the wall kind of breaks. Grealish, I think, has his arm out to maybe not pull back whoever he's next to, but at least like try and maintain the wall. But now his arm is away from his body in you know, an unnatural playing area. For me, it hits his arm enough, and I don't think there's enough to show that it like came off of his side and then hit his arm to, you know, try and play that argument, which is probably the argument they're playing.
That's crazy.
I don't know. Yeah, we need the audio. I think the last mic'd up thing they did was like 5 months ago now. Like, you're telling me no VAR decision has been worth talking about for 5 months?
Oh, absolutely not. There's been one, which feels like every week.
Yeah.
I do love that Instagram channel, the guy who does the impersonations of what the VAR room looks like, and I'm gonna go try to find this one. I'm sure he's making one.
Sure.
But it's, man, this one just blows my mind with how his arm was out, and the thought process. I do believe you. I do think he was trying to catch his teammate to either not reel him back in, but, you know, to keep the wall close, and he messed it up.
Yeah.
Simple as that. And
that's how it goes.
I just don't understand how it just isn't seen that way, or the refs who are seeing this, and they're seeing these arms go flying out. Mm-hmm. Why are they deeming it some natural? I guess I understand that it's making it a natural movement by jumping, but when you stretch your arms out to a certain degree,
yeah,
you can just tell. You can tell it's not natural. And that is the one case where I've seen where it's not like you're keeping your arms by your side and like they're not slowly rising up. His arm was out.
It was out. It was there to,
it was out.
To play the ball, and it did. And I've run out of words to say things about bad VAR calls, but
you know,
we got more to go over, so
okay, well, that was non-EPL related. The Everton drama with Forest today. Yesterday. That was something, wasn't it?
Yeah. I didn't really like hear anything about it until I think maybe this morning I saw like posts about it. And at first, like, I just saw a screen cap of the Twitter post from Forest, right. And I just assumed it was like some fan account or whatever, like, but no, just the official account posting this, which is like kind of wild already on its own, you know. Typically,
for sure,
teams in any sport don't want to, like, you know, put out like ideas of corruption in the reffing or really take a stance on any issue, sport or not, you know. They want to play it neutral, but, you know, Forrest, I think they're just in a position where relegation is right on their tail. The drop down is, you know, a significant loss in money compared to staying up. I think you go to bat for this. I don't know what could really come of it, but
Do you think they're pulling this out of their, like, hey man, we're running out, we need to make sure we stay up, let's also bring this up? So you're saying if they were ninth or eighth right now, this wouldn't be an issue?
I think it might be an issue, but I don't know if you are like making this post if you're like safely secure mid-table. I mean, especially if you're gonna, you know, the VAR ref is a known Luton fan, and Luton is like the one on their tails, right? I don't know. I think it is just like fair to call out regardless of where they were on the table, but I think even more so for them just to kind of shine a spotlight on the bad reffing that not only here, but, you know, they've had complaints throughout the season. Not like, I don't know what could come of it either way. Like, I don't think if they end up falling into relegation and get relegated and, like, then something comes out that, like, oh, yeah, the Luton fan did, you know, sway the vote here. Like, you're not getting moved up or anything. Mm-hmm. But I think it's always where teams should be able to kind of call out these things, whether it's maybe not club level, but at least the managers, right? Like,
sure.
I'd say managers and captains, maybe. Like, those are your two mouthpieces of the club that should be able to talk to the refs, should be able to get, like, the actual info and on the call and why from the ref, and, like, should be able to kind of have that constructive criticism, you know, of some of the calls. And I don't know. I'm with Forrest on this, but a little bit of it just feels like a not like a last ditch effort, but bringing like the spotlight on it when relegation is looming, I guess.
Yeah, the timing of it is, I think you're right. If this was 2 months ago, would it be as big of an issue? Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
What I do think they're right about is maybe two out of three of those calls probably should have been PKs. So, like, yeah. Just focus on the light of VAR's terrible. If we just take that, like, I think a lot of people would be like, well, yeah, they've been terrible for a chunk of this season. Just, you know, welcome to the club. Really interested to see what the whole Luton fan ordeal is. Because if it's a guy who's from the town and, like, you know, is kind of a casual about it, but, like, oh, he's from Luton, like, we need to look at, okay, well, I feel like that's not as big of an issue as what it's making out to be. But this guy is actively writing on social media, like, Luton must do everything. Just, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, how bad is this degree of this referee showing his fandom?
Well, as far as I know, like, when the refs, you know, I don't know, sign up to be a ref or whatever, like, you have to kind of declare, like, what team you support. So I don't think it's any secret that he's a Luton fan, even to PGMOL. Right. Okay, Forrest can bring this up to them, and then maybe they go and speak to him and say, like, look, I know, like, Forrest is not, like, a rival of Luton, but, you know, positionally in the table, it's right there, and, you know, it's one step to staying up and not. So, you know, are you able to put any of that feeling aside and stay professional? And I think that's maybe the most checks you could do in that situation, right? Like, if you get into always moving refs off of games because of who they support, I don't know. That's a lot of moving pieces that I don't think any reffing organization would really want to keep up with.
Yeah, I understand that. I think it makes it tough. I do think, you know, and that's... It's hard to say because it's like, what type of fan is he?
Yeah.
It's really hard to say. So why would Forrest need to call out this ref, right? I'm sure, I have a feeling, don't know, Forrest has probably been screwed over by VAR more than once this season, besides just this game. At some point, did they ever call out that ref on who their fan, you know, who they were a fan of? Probably not.
Yeah.
So the title race is close. I think this did come up at a time that might have worked best for them. You know what they did do, right? We're all paying attention to it.
Yeah.
They got the message out, and we're all looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. Like, I think there should be additional pressure on VAR from clubs. Like, a lot of these decisions, you know, can be not only game-changing, but, you know, season-changing. Whether this game happens this weekend or it happened like the first weekend, that's 3 points you lost that potentially you could have at least gotten a draw from, if not more. And you know, with how Forest season has played out, like, that would have been 3 points more towards safety. So, I don't think the timing should play as much of a role as it did. I think clubs and managers and stuff should be able to just kind of call this out as it happens. Because, VAR should be a smooth process that always tries to find the right outcome. I agree. I don't necessarily want it to re-ref games, but
right.
There's, so many situations where we say, VAR just overruled this, but, why not just have the on-field ref who's making the final decision go look at the screen so he can decide rather than Luton fan up in the VAR room just, deciding what goes and what doesn't. So I also want to point out it was Anthony Taylor on this game, so it just adds to the Anthony Taylor lore of being a bad ref.
So that's something I didn't actually look into. Did Anthony Taylor look at any of these?
I don't know. I didn't get to watch the game, and in all the highlights I've seen, there's none of the highlight packages really focus in on the fouls. There's the one little segment on NBC Sports where they just show the foul, and right. That was it. They don't really mention if it was checked. But as far as I understand, I don't think anything really was checked, not at least to the point of sending Anthony Taylor to the monitor to have another look.
Yeah, I doubt he actually did. I feel like Forrest wouldn't have made the statement they did if he would have.
Yeah.
It doesn't look to be that way. I don't believe he went over to the monitor. So.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, which I mean is just. It certainly highlights the issue that VAR has in its current implementation, right? Is you look at the foul on Reyna. I think if that's called live a penalty, it probably stands. If it's called live not a penalty, I think that it was one of those kind of gray area. Yeah, there's contact, but yeah. So I think that one is fine. I'm okay to throw that one aside. But I think the second one, Young's arm is basically fully extended, right? And ball comes up and hits it. And okay, if you don't want to call it a penalty live, fine. Maybe you thought, that the ball was too close, but that should be one where VAR steps in and says, hey, go look. I'm not saying one thing or another, but just have another look, right?
You make it sound so easy for them. Hey, just go have it.
But I feel like it could be that easy.
I agree with you. It should be that easy. It should.
Yeah. Your sole purpose up in that VAR booth, drawing the lines, showing everyone the lines, and, if there's a situation where it's a penalty or a foul that should be a red or whatever, just hey, Anthony, just go look. I don't know what to tell you, but just go look.
You are the assistant.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a tool.
Yeah, that's it. That's all it has to be, but...
You're the operator.
They've gotten confused, I think, on their own designation of what VAR is, and, they want to now re-ref the game, which they've said, time and time again, that's not what we want to do, but,
They are...
If not re-refing, you are refing.
They are becoming the overlord of refs.
Yeah.
And I don't know. We got to make a stand. I feel like there's going to be some egos hitting soon. VAR is going to say, no, we're right. And I feel like a ref's going to be like, I don't think you are. And they're like, what are you going to do about it? And then it's going to be like a standoff. That's what it has to come to at this point, I think. Or else
probably.
I don't know what else would change. Refs and VAR are going to have to butt heads.
Yeah, it's going to have to be something like that, and I don't know. I think you could go a long way, too, of just, you use the same on-field ref pool as you do for the VAR ref pool, right? So just separate that. You guys are on-field refs. You guys are, trained video assistant refs, and, that's it. Some friendships and, relationships will develop over time there anyway. There's no escaping that, but, at least it's not like now Anthony Taylor up in the booth. Well, if I was on the field, I would have called it this way, And I think that's a lot of what's happening is they're all trying to put their own little input into it.
Yeah. think that's fair to say. So do you think Forrest should have gotten at least one?
I'd say two. I think the handball and then the last foul, I mean, Young just comes to the back of Hudson-Odoi. And
that's the easiest one. That's the easiest one.
That one, if you're going to get one, like, that's the one. Like, so I get Forrest's frustration there. I'm just kind of interested to see what comes. Because, like, what, they end their tweet with, like, we're going to take the necessary actions or something? Like, what does that mean, dude?
They're coming for you. What does that mean? Yeah. Necessary action? Are they going to sue EPL? What are they, like?
I don't know.
We're going to make our own league.
Yeah. Maybe. So it could mean something to keep an eye on for sure.
Look, Forrest, I understand these calls went against you, and they were terrible calls. You still lost to Everton. Everton is not a good team. I get psychologically they might have been off because of all of it, but at the same time, you can't.
Like, I mean, frankly, both the goals they let up were just, I feel like, easily saved goals,
dude,
honestly.
It's moving in slow motion. They were hard shots. They were driven. But, man, let's just shoot from 30 yards out and see what happens.
For real. Like, for both goals to be, like, the same kind of goal, right, is just silly. Because, like, yeah, it's a good hard shot, but it's not like a rocket into the top corner where you have to make some crazy diving save. It's just, you know, moving along the ground, and you're just caught on your heels twice, I guess? I don't know. Like, I think some of it was maybe blocked, but, like, you're a professional keeper. I think you should be quick enough to make that save.
Yeah. I think those are tough. I do. Like, he was just so far out. That's where I'm like, okay, I think you probably should have done better. I do think they were great shots, nonetheless. Oh, yeah. Like, credit to Gahee and McNeil. McNeil shot, too, was like, that was a hit hard. But I do agree. Yeah. It was from so far away. I do feel like the keeper should have gotten there. I'm sure Matt Turner is...
Matty T would have done it. I don't know. I've seen my guy make that dive, you know?
Yeah. And if he doesn't, okay, you're in the same position that you're currently in. So it's like, why do you have three keep? Why are you starting three? The problem with Forrest is they've had three different starting keepers and a whole rotation of everyone but, man, Gibbs White and maybe Nico Williams. Niakate has been in and out. Reyna Hudson-Odoi has really been coming on late. Alanga was kind of their guy for a while. Chris Wood, late addition. So, like, there's so much rotation in this squad. I'd be shocked to see what their numbers look like as far as the most consistent team on the pitch. I get it. Yeah. Nuno's figuring things out, but, bro, you got five games left. You got to stay up.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
That's the thing, too, is you know, like, it always kind of comes back to, you got to do what you can to win the game regardless of which way a call goes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't rely on VAR, obviously. You can't rely on the ref to always make the right decision. So take your shots, get the goals, and you know, deal with the rest as it comes. But, I certainly don't think Forrest played well enough to get away with a win. I think if they did off of these penalties, that would have been, you know, maybe a little bit generous in that sense. But yeah, I don't know. It just makes the relegation battle more spicy for us neutral viewers. So
yeah, for sure. It's going to be a five team race. I still believe it. I think Everton, I don't know if you're safe all the way yet. I don't know yet. Forest, though, Luton, Burnley, Sheffield, could be either one.
Yeah, I think five-team race is fair.
Everton's close.
Everton.
You're close.
Everton's got Liverpool next, then Brentford, then Luton, then Sheffield, and Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, two of those matches are pretty big, you know, neighbors down there. Sheffield is, you know, the one I think we can all say is getting relegated. But,
right.
You know, yeah, I think they're definitely not out of the race yet. I guess maybe we can transfer to Luton here because they could have taken a really big step this week to getting out of relegation, and certainly did the opposite.
No, Stanger's up.
Stanger's up.
Brentford out of nowhere. Sheesh. Scoring five?
Without Tony.
That's got to be their biggest biggest output this season, right?
I think so, yeah. I don't remember them popping off like that.
Five is top for them. Wiesa, man, just doing whatever he wants. Mbeumo looking really good. And this isn't even like their true 11 either. So
yeah,
I do think the Mbeumo effect is real.
Yeah, I mean,
two assists.
They were great up until they lost him through injury, right? Like,
yep.
So he's their Paqueta, right? Like, he was missing, and that now he's back, and they're kind of moving in the right direction again. But I mean, man, so much of this game was just Luton just not defending well at all.
Rough game for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that one hurts. They're definitely, it didn't ruin their chances, but I was hoping they could just brush off the Man City game, make it that like one off, like, you know, it's Man City, just do whatever and focus up on and move forward. Cause, what they got, Wolves next, then Everton. So that'll be big. Then West Ham and Fulham. So, not the easiest of, you know, final games, but
not the hardest either. They're not the hardest. They could. I wouldn't put. Man, maybe I just believe in Luton too much, but I really wouldn't believe in. Obviously, them winning all these games, but there's no way they lose all these games either.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and yeah, you won't have to win all the games, I don't think. You know.
We got
looking at Forest. Forest has City next, and they have Sheffield, Chelsea, and Burnley. So, I would say, you know, Sheffield and Burnley should be straightforward wins, but you also didn't turn up against Everton. So, you know, it's hard to say which way it'll go. Honestly, it's. I don't know. It'll be interesting to watch. Fun to watch. I'm glad I don't have that stress, but you know.
Yeah, it's going to be a trip. God, I can't believe there's four left for those teams. Oh, we're so close.
Just checking Burnley real quick. Oof. Yeah, Burnley has Man U, Newcastle, Tottenham, and then Forest. So,
see, now with them, I wouldn't shock me if they lose all of them.
Yeah. That could happen for sure. I don't know. You're kind of right there still. So if company can get the squad rallied and, you know, at least take a point off of United or I mean, I think United's a big chance, honestly, with how United plays, that you could maybe get a point or more if you're, you know, really focus in. So, yeah, not out of it, certainly, but
here's Burnley's opportunity right here. Tottenham goes and plays Chelsea May 2nd, Liverpool May 5th, and then Burnley May 11th, and then 3 days later, City. That day they play Tottenham, Burnley and Tottenham. Tottenham might not play their dudes that game.
Yeah, that's true. I mean,
if they're fighting for Europe, sure, there's a chance, but it wouldn't shock me if they don't play, I don't know, their guys, and they want to go against City with those guys 3 days later.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing, too, is Tottenham is still in that top four hunt. They're two games down and 6 points down, but, you know, that could be level, you know, if they win both their games in hand. So, yeah, that's a good point. They could maybe throw out some B team, rest some guys, and, you know, focus on some other games in there. So
I'd be circling that one for sure.
Yeah.
And then we talk a little bit about West Ham. Man. Yeah, Chad, if West Ham has, I don't even know where to begin with them, but I just want to talk about Palace really quick. If this was the Palace team that would have played Liverpool last week, I believe the same scoreline would have happened. Because the Palace has, like, jumped again gears to this next level, yeah. And Olise and Eze are amazing. And if they sell those two, I'm going to throw Mateta in there, too. I think their front three is solid.
Yeah, he's really connected with them,
And their back line, too, is just so under control right now. Keeper issue. Hey, we'll talk about that.
But he didn't have his hat, okay?
Hey, you should have. If you take, obviously, you can say this about a lot of teams, but if you just take their front three out or sell those guys next year, two out of three of them, this team is back to relegation again.
Yeah.
That's a hot take, I really believe it. Those guys are so good at keeping this team alive and scoring goals. And, you know, without Eze and Olise, that's basically what we saw was a relegation type team for the last, God, what's felt like 3 months.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to figure out a way to keep Eze and Olise fit and playing games. I think they're working really well with Mateta up top. He's big dude. He's got some pace on him. I don't know if you saw I think it was to Eze though. There's like a little, or Eze or Olise, I don't know. I forget who it was, but there's like a pass into him and he has like a Giroud-esque like quick flick back to him. Like, if you're getting him to play that role plus, you know, be a goal threat, Eze and Olise playing off of him, you know, they can find a left winger to bring in. Like, that's a strong attack. And, I hope they kind of hang on to them at least for one more year. I think if any of those three go, I think it might be Eze. Olise, you know, a lot of people love, but I think he has just been so injury prone right. that a lot of clubs will be afraid to take that risk. Mateta, I don't know if he goes too much higher than this. Like, he's a great player, but I don't know if he has.
That's fair.
What it takes to really step up to that next level. But yeah, I mean, this was just Palace putting on a clinic, and I get West Ham at a valiant effort to try and take down Leverkusen midweek. And I think that showed here. They were all just dead and tired and, you know, no one wanted to make the runs to defend. And, even the goals they get were, well, one is very lucky in that Dean just,
oh, dude,
eyes off the ball. But, Antonio, he seems to always grab a goal a game. So, you know, that was almost written in stone. But, yeah. Wow. Palace came out of nowhere with a five-goal thriller.
Didn't see that coming this weekend.
No, but they still are 14th, so they're right where they want to be.
Yeah, they'll get to 12.
Not too crazy.
12's their goal. And I don't know if they'll get to 12. They need Fulham and Bournemouth to kind of mess up. But before this win streak they're currently on, they won two games in the new year. Any guesses on who they might have beaten?
Who they might have beaten? I don't know if they've played yet, but I'm going to say Everton.
It wasn't Everton.
Not Everton.
Checking to see what they...
Sheffield. Correct. Everyone's beaten Sheffield. All correct. Right, I got one.
You got one. What's the other?
Did they... No. Chelsea.
No. It's Burnley.
Okay.
They took down the bottom two, and then they decided to turn it up against Liverpool. And then they're going to ride this momentum out to Castle, Fulham, Man U, Wolves, and Aston Villa, which that last game of the season for Aston Villa, that could be a real doozy for them.
Yeah, that's true. All right, yeah. You know, not the most straightforward ending for Palace, but
but they could change the tides of teams.
if they play like this, you know, even if they don't win the games, at least make some teams sweat a little bit. So
if they play like this, they're top eight. West Ham's top eight.
That's true. That's as true.
Today they just clearly showed how much better they are than West Ham, which is crazy. Yeah.
This is the... So do you think now, you know, season ends, David Moyes is actually going?
Yeah.
You think he's donezo?
Yeah, Tuchel rumors trickling in.
For West Ham?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I know. Okay. I can kind of see it.
I think that could work.
Right.
I mean, I'd say West Ham's recruitment has been pretty good in recent years, you know. Not everyone paying off, but some good options. You know, the Kudus pick is big. Alvarez in the midfield is big. Paqueta, like, I mean, if they can hang on to Paqueta, I know City's looking at him too. But
I think City's going to get him.
Probably. But, you know, that's, what, 80 million or whatever for West Ham to play with, and I still don't think they've really spent too much of that Declan Rice money, so
yeah, no.
You know, if you're going to bring in Tuchel, just, you know, give him the support he needs with the players he needs, and could probably get you back up there. You know, we've seen this West Ham team go on these great runs, especially it seems like at the start of seasons, they start pretty hot, so, like, the players are there.
Well, if they didn't start as hot, they wouldn't be eighth, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, yeah, I think David Moyes is fine at what he does, but I think West Ham in this squad is maybe, like, outgrowing him a touch and, like, trying to break through, but Moyes' tactics or team selection isn't really allowing them to do that. So, yeah, you know, although I do want to say one thing about West Ham fans, because I went and looked in their subreddit after the Leverkusen loss, and, you know, that came right after... Arsenal going out against Bayern. They are still so salty about Rice leaving.
Really?
Like, they had a post up there of, like, Rice, his first ever, like, European semifinal exit and stuff. I was like...
Yeah, rent-free.
Yeah, I was like, this guy just led you to the Europa Conference League title last season. Got you 100 million. I get, like, we all love a player who's, you know, from the club and there a long sure. time, all that, but, like, I don't know. That ship was sailing, whether it was Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, City, whoever it was going to be. He was not staying there. So funny to see them still so salty, but I was just, like, surprised it is still going on.
God, when are they going to get over it?
For real. Move on.
That's funny. That's when you know you have a great player, when the other team is still complaining about it.
Yeah.
Wow, shocking. I kind of get that to agree. Liverpool was like that with Raheem Sterling once upon a time. He was a lot younger, and he didn't win us anything. But,
like, I get it. Like, yeah, if, you know, Saka went somewhere, yeah, that sucks. We all, you know, bought into him and you know, saw him kind of come up for a few seasons and play such a key role. Right. But, I mean, that's how the sport is going. You don't really have those one club players anymore, and as much as we all want it, like, a lot of these guys will either follow the money or follow the trophy success, or, you know, to play in Champions League and stuff, which, I mean, your career is relatively short, right? So you kind of have to do it if you have that option.
Yep. Don't hate the player.
Yeah, that's it.
Last game, we haven't talked about Aston Villa, Bournemouth. Bournemouth came out really strong. I thought they were going to win this game, and then Aston Villa kind of broke them down a little bit in the back line. This late surge by Villa seems to be paying off for Emery. Don't know what he's telling them, but late goals are coming, and they're looking good. I mean, they look a little better.
Better, I think, is a good way to say it. They're not where they were, but they look... I'm more confident in them keeping top four than I have been in a few weeks now. So that's nice to see. Nice to see them, like, really kind of focusing in and going for it now. And I mean, they're the last English team in any European competition. So
don't get them.
Yeah. Keep going. If you can do top four and win the Conference League, like, that's a fantastic season.
For sure. So. Hell yeah. I wish this was the team that showed up to play City a couple weeks back, right? It's a very different squad of what we saw today versus City, even though it is Bournemouth. Energy looked good. Everyone's pouncing when Watkins is throwing balls across the box. I feel like a couple weeks ago, everyone was on their heels when Watkins would shoot because they were going in a lot of the times, but no one was really reacting. And I feel like he hit this lull, right, of no goals. People were flat-footed on his shots, not bouncing to get the rebounds, and now we're seeing that happen again, and now they're going on this streak. So I don't know. I believe they'll make top four, which would be awesome because that means almost three-fourths of my preseason predictions are accurate, which is, I think, I give a little props to myself that it worked out. They just look better. Emery tapped into something, and maybe it's because the end of Europa's coming, right? So they're kind of like, let's win Europa, and it just happens to, you know, feed off into Premier League. But it's working.
Just looking at their run in here, they got Chelsea next. Then they got their first game against Olympiacos, then Brighton, then their second game against Olympiacos, then Liverpool, then Palace. So not super straightforward with those European games in there, but they're kind of in that same position that Arsenal Liverpool are right now. Like, they have that 6-point lead, quote unquote, on Tottenham. You know, Tottenham still has two games in hand, but like, that's still pressure. And we've seen this Tottenham team just turn up or not. Like, it just, there's no telling what team's gonna really come out that day.
It's been hard to tell at times. Well, dang, no City this weekend, no Man United, no Chelsea, no Tottenham. Is that the four?
No.
What did I miss?
Newcastle. So then, Brighton as well.
Brighton, of course. That's a chunk. It's a chunk missing. But
yeah.
What sucks on the table right now is the teams that have 32 or less games played. Chelsea being the only one with 31. But
31? Wow.
I know. So hypothetically, they catch up right now, get to 34 games played with an additional 9 points, puts him at 56, Chad. That puts him in sixth place.
Wow. Could you imagine?
I did. Top four.
I mean, I guess, yeah. Like, but having spent, you know, almost the whole season in 10th or 11th, and then if you potentially could end up right there at the top in the top six mix.
That's wild. And you could potentially get to number five if Tottenham really drops the ball here, which they already did last week. It could happen again. You guys take on Tottenham on Tuesday. They lose that game too. That's like Chelsea's eyes get bigger and bigger, which is just crazy to think about. This team that is so dysfunctional, yet kicking other teams' asses. It's like it's made for TV, and that's why we're watching. That's why
the drama is great. The script writers know what they're doing.
So entertaining. I'm here for every step of the way. I think we did it. I think we got through all our games.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Should we get to our weekly awards?
Yeah.
We did a little talk about it, but I do have to give a not player of the week. It's got to be Dean Henderson, man. You guys almost had a perfect game. Almost. And that might be, that was up there with one of the worst keeper errors this season. I know the ball's a little bouncy, but that was one. I was like, you could have done a lot better.
In my notes, I just said, get the hat out. He couldn't see. So hopefully he just plays that too. It's like, someone had a laser in the crowd, blinded me for a split second.
Like, Dean, no, they didn't. We can see.
Yeah, that was not good. I mean, lucky for him, it came at a pretty inconsequential time. But man, can you imagine if that was, you know, game defining?
Dude, no. And that's why I don't think he'll be on Crystal Palace next season.
It's fair, yeah.
Yeah, he's one where if he sticks around and no one else does, good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck. All right. Teams, Chad. Teams.
I got Brentford and Palace.
And, good shouts.
But, yeah, between the two, I think I probably lean Palace just because, you know, you look at the table and West Ham is above them by six positions. And, I mean, they defended poorly, but Luton just defended so poorly on so many,
yeah,
so many goals there for Brentford, which...
Don't lie, West Ham did too.
Yeah. West Ham was bad too, but like...
Not that
I don't know. I feel like it could go either way. I'm good either way on it, honestly, but I think I lean Palace on this
one. Oh, I'm leaning Palace hard too. 2 weeks in a row, man, and I'm a Palace hater. Been a Palace hater since like mid yeah. last season, but now they're starting to grow on me. Now I beg them not to sell their players for at least one season. If you can have a healthy season with these guys, see what can happen. So yeah, Palace, 2 weeks in a row. If you want to make it a third, crush Newcastle.
Yeah, there you go.
See what happens.
I'm here for it.
Yeah, why not? All right, goal, Chad, goal.
Whew, got some options.
Yep.
I mean, sticking on the Palace theme, Eze's goal.
I know, so cool.
Great. You know, you love to see a little scissor kick bike hybrid thing, but to do that off of just like a quick deflection, I think is just made it look so much sweeter and got so much power on that.
Yeah, it was a charge up. I couldn't believe how much load time he had in there. And yeah, no, that was a fun goal. It's cool to see that guy pop off. I really do like him. Mm-hmm. Don't sell him or else you're gonna find out how good he can actually be. I say it for the third time.
Yeah. Trent's free kick. Lovely. Obviously, we love a good free kick. Yep. Grabenberg, great hit, top of the box.
Yep,
found it right at the side there, and I had both Trossard and Odegaard on here. Hmm. I think I maybe lean Odegaard on it just because it's that tight angle and like to get it between post and keeper is probably not planned, but I'm going to say he meant it. So
Saw should have done better there, I think, too. Great. I'm not taking away from Odegaard. I'm just saying that felt very uncharacteristic of Saar to let a goal go in near post.
Yeah.
When he was facing the player.
I think, you're probably assuming he's trying to wrap it around. You go like, you know, far post, but it was also such a hard angle. I don't think you could, like, I mean, I guess maybe that's what his thought was, that it was a hard angle, so he could kind of leave the near post a little bit more, but, I mean, I don't know. Definitely could have done better, but...
But Odegaard did it. Not taking away from Odegaard. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah. McNeil's shot.
Yep.
I like the power on it. Again, I think keeper maybe could do better there, but... I don't know. That'll keep her. and then I got Wiss's first goal. I thought was pretty great. So,
well, we pretty much listed off all the same goals here. The only one you didn't shout out was the Mateta goal, where this is why I'm giving it to Eze for all of them because I like the shot a lot. But the Mateta goal is a close second. Chad, he had time to swivel his body in three different angles in a matter of, 3 seconds? Which is just crazy that no one got to him in that time. That goal fascinated me so much because he got to look at the keeper and say, I'm not going to go this way. I'm not going to go this way or this way. And the keeper got to see all three angles and no one jumped on him. It was fascinating to watch. Terrible defending. I couldn't believe West Ham for that. I was so disappointed. But hey, did him dirty.
I mean, look, you got to take advantage of a team that's tired, not defending well, whatever it might be. So
they were slow. They were slow. But Eze or Trent?
Yeah. I like Trent's goal, but you just don't see enough of the like bikes and scissor kick things. So I think Eze's got it for me.
Yep, he got my start too. Good pick. Mm-hmm. For player this week, I liked Eze a lot this week. I thought he did great. Mateta too. Wiesa, I think, is going to get the nod for me just because he made Brentford go up early.
Yeah.
And to be honest, those two goals might have just solidified them staying in the Premier League. So I feel like the context behind those goals, obviously first one for getting the lead, but the second one is like, you feel good when you're up 2-0.
So yeah, definitely.
I feel like that goal had so much more meaning for it than it kind of showed. And I feel like deep down, Brentford recognized what that victory meant in terms of the year. And it was definitely a sigh of relief, you know?
I mean, to you know, do so well and get a big win without Tony, which, you know, I think has been the talking point around Brentford for like the whole season of, you know, Tony's not there. And, you know, even I said, you know, without Tony, they just need to like find some stability and survive until he gets back. And then he comes back, he does a little bit, but now he's injured-ish. He's not ready. He's not ready. So, you know, to be able to do that without him, I think is a big, like, mental win for them as well. You know, and Mbeumo's back, and that's a key part in all that too. But, yeah, I like that pick. The only other one I want to add is Watkins. Got two assists on the day.
Yeah.
And I think both of them were situations where we've seen him just take the shot before. So I think it was good just have that composure to look up and find the pass and find like the easy goal rather than than going for gold and you know, stacking your numbers, but at the same time like making sure the team gets the win. So
he's got to be close to leading the Premier League in assists.
In assists,
yeah, stat check. Sure. Stat check. He's got to be up there. Oh, he is with 12.
12, okay.
Yep, 12 got him there. Trippier and Pascal Gross right behind him.
Oh, dang. Yeah, so, I mean, it's, you know, good to see. It's just good to see him almost have that, like, Darwin moment where it's like, I don't need to take every single shot. Sometimes there's that easy, better pass for the tap-in goal.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, also plays into like he needs his teammates up there with him, which, you know, we saw when they weren't looking so good, he was often alone. So he had to take the shot. So
yeah, Diaby and Bailey kind of running on the flats trying to get in behind him. Or at least just far post, right? Waiting for the rebound. That happened twice today.
Yeah.
Effectively twice. So lean into that more and good things will come, because that's that's exactly what happened. They got it done. All right. I know we talked about one meme. Gosh, can you remind me what I sent you? It was I DM'd it to you. It was an interesting scenario. I'm gonna close my video here really quick. Because, oh man, it was a really interesting situation between two players.
Was it the goalie?
Yes.
With the laser pointer?
With the laser, complaining about the laser, and then he was hiding it. Where did I text you that? I must have texted it to you.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm looking for it now too, and I can't.
It might have been on Instagram or something, but that was I've never heard of this, and apparently that happened a while ago. But a player was hiding in a trash can during a PK session so he could get intel. He was miming. Yeah, here it is. He was miming before a PK shootout. But he was shining a laser pointer. Here it is. Nahu Gomez was suspended for 11 games, fined, and ordered to community service after being found guilty of distracting Monterey goalie from a suite inside the stadium with a laser pointer. Dude, that's some Mario Balotelli stuff right there.
Yeah, for real.
That I will not forget.
That, I just want to know, like, the mindset of, like, yeah, you're getting the intel, whatever, but then you're just like, nah, don't need to worry about beating them, you know, naturally and fairly. Like, let me hide in the suite and just target him. And...
Yeah, what do you think was going to happen? A consequenceless life for this guy. I don't know. I don't know. You think you can get away with that and be fine. Wild.
Jeez.
Wild. All right, Chad, we got a busy week coming up. Lots of games Tuesday through Sunday, just for the whole week. I don't think I'm going to be able to chat with you for a little bit, at least not online. So we might have to check back next Tuesday, the 30th.
That could work.
So get the notebooks ready, because we got about, oh, man.
There's a lot.
We got a lot of games here, so we might have to pick and choose, be a little more specific. Yeah. The table might look very different a week from now with these two games to be played. Good luck. Get it done.
Likewise, yeah.
Get it done, right?
Keep the pressure on.
Keep the pressure on. Don't let City get away with this for free.
That's
simple
it.
As that. All right, Chad, you got any more to say?
Nope. I think that's it. Just cautiously optimistic moving for the rest of the season.
That's all we can do. It's up to you, City. Decide if you want to win this thing or not. We'll be here if you don't. That's all we're saying.
Exactly.
All right, Chad. It's been a pleasure. With that, the Hooligans pitch, we are out. Episode 69. Later. Peace.